360 Big Perm H2O Show.
Yes, yes, yes. Another Sunday, another opportunity to just build with y'all. This is the H2O Show. I'm Big Perm, my partner DJ 360. And we're here every Sunday from 11 p.m. to 12 Eastern Standard Time on Woo War Radio. You can check us out at wooworld.com. You can get the app. If you don't have it already, download it. It's free. You know what I mean? Wu-Tang Forever, 36 Chambers. And what we do on this show, we do every week, is just build and play dope music at the same time. Real lyrics, hip-hop, lyricism. Sometimes we go in other genres, too. It's all about that good, good music and a good conversation. We talk about all different types of topics. And tonight, we're going to talk with Anthony Drago and talking about GPS, Go Prove Something. And basically, we're going to build on this two of my favorite things, our favorite things, basketball and the mind, and how he puts that together. What's going on, Anthony? How you feeling, man?
Doing fantastic, man. How's everything with you?
Man, I'm feeling great myself, man. I'm looking forward to this interview, man, because, yo, I love what you're doing, because you're actually taking two things that I love, combining it, and showing how important the mental mindset is.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, my opinion, and opinion of, like, I think all the great players that basketball and sports and life in general is 85 to 90% about the mind, and it's just about, you know, the other 10% is the mechanics of, and the, you know, the plans and like the blueprints of what you have to do. But if the mind's not right, the rest of the body and the rest of the skills won't work.
Yeah, you're so right. So, but before we get into the book, introduce yourself to the people. Let them know about your background.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my name's Anthony Drago, and I've been working with basketball players probably now for the last 12 to 14 years. I got started training them with a gentleman by the name of Jerry Mosley, and Jerry's been training basketball players for the last 25 or 30 years on Staten Island, and he actually, if you ever heard of Zayat Taylor, people from Staten Island know Zayat Taylor. He's playing overseas now. That's actually Jerry's nephew.
Okay.
And he's worked with players like Kyle McElarney, who's, you know, Notre Dame's leading three-point scorer in the history of the school. So he's worked with a lot of successful people that have played overseas, and I got my start with him. And that's where I kind of learned the first, you know, got my first taste of developing the mind, because he uses basketball, and now I use basketball as a vehicle for teaching life lessons, where you can, you know, get the kids to understand not so much, you know, I mean, you teach them the game, but you get them to understand that everything that they take, you know, that they learn on the court, they can take off the court and learn and you know, use it in their lives. So that's where I got my first start. You know, I was in the military for 4 years out of a little after high school. And the thing with the book is I kind of been doing this for so long now that I felt that all the information and knowledge that I had, it was kind of criminal if I didn't get it out there to the masses and to the youth, especially the youth, because the youth net right now, I mean, I see it, I'm sure you guys see it as well. It's kind of in a downward spiral with all the negativity, all the bullying, and they're kind of eliminating competitive sports from schools and from organizations where they're just giving participation trophies and things of that nature. So they're kind of getting rid of that. So I felt compelled that I needed to write this book to get the information out there to teach these youth, you know, about life and using the vehicle of basketball and sports itself. So now I'm just on a mission to help change as many kids as I possibly can, you know, help change the world, as they say, you know, one child at a time.
Hey, you got to reach one, teach one. And now let me ask you, when did you get that passion? When did you realize you had a passion to teach?
You know, I've been playing basketball for so long, probably since I'm like 8, 9 years old, and I'm going to be 43 in November here. And time flies, man. And I think it was just after I kind of knew that my, you know, I had the aspirations of playing professional basketball, but I didn't have the right mind, you know, and I'll be honest with you. I had a great skill set. I could play at high levels, but my mind wasn't right. And I think once I went through the military and came out of the military and started training. And honestly, when I started training with Jerry, I started realizing, you know, the possibility of it not just being like something like, oh, let me just train some players, but let me really impact the world through basketball and through sports. So I think probably like over the last, you know, 10, like I said, 10 to 12 years, it really started kicking in.
That's what's up, man. And the fact that you took on this challenge is beautiful. Now, you mentioned that Tony Robbins took a Tony Robbins seminar. I think that's big because he's doing work all over the world. And he has his seminars. Like, what was the biggest thing you took away from the seminars that you can apply to what you were doing?
I mean, the biggest thing for me from Tony Robbins seminars, he's actually the one who got me, you know, obviously indirectly, not personally, but he's the one who got me and got my head on right as far as developing the mind. Because when I was in the military, you know, I was a very negative person. I used to go into my ship when I was in the Coast Guard, and like people's faces would just make me angry, and I'd be mad, and I'd be in a state of, you know, negativity all the time. And then I started listening to him and started understanding, you know, how you can control your mind. You know, how every thought that you have, I mean, every feeling you have is preceded by a thought, and that you can control the thoughts that go into and stay in your mind. So if you can control your thoughts, you can control your feelings. And I started understanding that. So then I went to the seminar, and the first night was amazing because we did, I don't know if you've ever heard of the firewalk experience, but what you do is you literally, and I literally, walked over a bed of coals barefoot, 2,000 degrees, burning coals, and didn't get burned. But that was the easy part of the weekend because then it was 50 hours of training in 4 days. And that was the easy part because then he started, you know, delving into your past about why you do things and, you know, the reasons why you do things and how you attribute negativity and all these different, you know, emotions that you put into, you know, how you're living and how you just, your body is and your mind is trained for survival and it's trained to just survive, to just get through. And, you know, everyone says think positive, but that's not how your mind and your body is designed. It's designed to survive. So it's about understanding why you do things and why you did things and how to consciously change the approach and change the way you do things. So, I mean, just the whole experience was absolutely amazing. I made friends that I still speak with, you know, today. And it was just a mind-blowing experience and made me realize that, you know, this is what I want to do. But the thing is with Tony Robbins and most motivational speakers is that, for the most part, they're geared toward the adults. It's geared towards getting that dream back, getting that fire back. Well, I look at it like, well, let me focus on the youth. And instead of having to create, you know, break bad habits, how about create good ones and start, you know, developing a culture of positivity going forward so you don't have to try to regain it. You already have it. And you can then go ahead and, you know, give it to other people and share it with other people.
I mean, right there, those are two points that are so key because you said the why. And I think understanding the why helps you motivate yourself and helps motivate others around you because you understand how to push the needle in the direction you need to go. And that's very key. And the fact that you're actually taking it to the youth and actually trying to create, like you said, instead of trying to break it down, you're actually building. And it's going to be a trickle-down effect because those kids eventually are going to be parents, right? And vice versa. So you're creating like a new tradition. And that's a beautiful movement right there.
Right. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I mean, these kids, you know, the old song, you know, I believe the children are our future. And it's corny, but it's true. You know, these kids are the future. And if we're setting them up for the same thing that we're doing, but now it's progressively getting worse because they're, you know, there's no more, you know, I speak about this in the book. I shouldn't say wrote about it in the book. You know, there's no more, you know, letting kids fail and letting them get knocked down and dusting themselves off and getting back up again. You know, when I was growing up, and I'm sure you can attest to this, playing ball, you know, I would go to the schoolyard where I played, and we would bust our ass to try to, you know, win. And if we didn't win, we'd be off the court for 2 hours, and you'd be mad, you'd be angry, like, oh, man.
I remember those days, man. I remember those days.
You know, and it's like, I went by the court that I used to play, and not a soul. Not a soul. And the weekends, you go by, no one. It's just, it's a different world today because all these kids, I call it the generation entitlement, where they think they just think that they show up and they should get what they're looking for. And it doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. But that's what they're setting the kids up for with all these different, you know, participation trophies. And, you know, it's kind of like it's a weird contrast, which I'm actually writing an article for Stat coming up soon. And it's kind of a weird contrast that I'm going to be referencing is that, you know, they're promoting this no one, you know, no child left behind and, you know, everybody gets a trophy for participating. But yet in the AAU circuit, it's all about win at all costs. And kids go to different teams to try to win, and they travel all over the world, all over the country to try to win on these traveling teams, and they're never developing themselves, not only for the basketball skills, but for the mental aspect. So it's kind of like, it's an absolute contrast, because here they're saying that no kids left behind and, you know, everybody gets a trophy for participating, but yet win at all costs. Even like, you know, the third and fourth and fifth grade kids, it's like, they're not letting these kids develop. And it's scary to me, honestly, because I have a 2.5-year-old son, and I'm looking at it like, what's it going to be like in 18 years when he's, you know, like this? Where's it going to be?
I mean, that's a really good point, because I consider AAU like all the super all-star games. You put all these great talented dudes together. That's great, but then, like you said, you're not developing the tough times, like where you lose and you're like, all right, I got to figure out how to get better so I don't lose, because you're always winning already.
Right, and it's scary and it's sad because the kids don't get a chance to experience that. Like, how good was it? I mean, you I'm sure you remember when you got beat, and then all of a sudden you beat the players and you beat the guys that you couldn't beat for the longest time, and like you were like so excited, like. It meant everything to you because you busted your butt and you got there. But these kids don't get that anymore. And it started with, you know, like with LeBron going down, you know, to Miami to play there. And it's like showing like everyone coming together, like, you know, play with all the best. Like, no, Jordan would have never played with Magic or Bird and vice versa, because they wanted to beat each other. They on the court, enemies. Off the court, friends. That's fine. But these guys are all just friendly on the court. There's no, that competitive fire doesn't really exist anymore within the sports world. And you know, it's sad to see that, because it's not how I grew up. I know times change, and you know, I always said I don't want to get to the point where I'm like, I can't believe these kids today. But I really can't, because there's nothing for them to achieve if everything is handed to them.
I mean, that's a great point. But you know what? Things always come back. So with your book and your seminars and all your sessions, you're bringing it back, man. Bring back the 80s, the whole vibe of that whole culture. We're talking with Anthony Drago, author of Go Prove Something. Right now we're going to get into the music with DJ 360, and we'll get into the mix, and we'll be back. Yes, sir. The Ace Trail Show, we get that splash of freshness.